Question 5, concentration samadhi is one of the three learnings. Meditation jhana is one of the six parameters. Both of them are learned and practiced by all bodhisattvas from the beginning of their religious life, regardless of whether they are bright or dull with it. The zazen you now preach would probably be included here as well. On what grounds do you say that the right Dhamma of the Tathagata is concentrated in zazen? Answer 5. Your question is evolved because the appellation Zen sect has been given to the right Dhamma eye, the incomparable and great Dhamma that is the Tathagata's one great matter. Bear this well in mind. The appellation Zen sect is met with in China eastward. It is not known in India. When the great teacher Bodhidharma was at the Shaolin Monastery of Sanshan doing zazen facing a wall for 9 years, the priests and laymen there, not knowing yet of the Buddha's right Dharma, initially said he was an Indian monk who placed a special emphasis on zazen. Afterward, for generation after generation, each of the patriarchs devoted himself to zazen exclusively. Seeing this and not knowing the true circumstances, unthinking laymen spoke loosely of a Zazen sect. At present, the word Za has been dropped and we speak of the Zen sect. Its essence is made clear in the recorded sayings of the patriarchs. Zazen shouldn't be equated with the jhana or samadhi of the six parameters or three learnings. It is altogether clear this is the legitimate idea of the Buddha Dharma that has been directly transmitted. Many years ago, during the ceremony on Vulture Peak, the Tathagata entrusted the right Dhamma eye, wondrous mind of Nirvana, to Mahakashapa alone. Some among the Deva multitude now present in the heavens actually witnessed the ceremony. Therefore, there is no reason for any doubt. The Buddha Dharma, as a matter of course, is forever protected and maintained by the Deva multitude. Their efforts never slacken. You may know without doubt that this zazen is the absolute way of the Dharma, Buddha Dharma. It is incomparable. Okay, number 5, question 5 is there is very fundamental study of Buddhism according to the ancient Buddhism, there is three learnings: precept, wisdom, and jhana or samadhi. Jhana. He says in the note, he says three forms of Buddhist learning, discipline, sila, S-I-L-A, concentration, samadhi, and wisdom, prajna, thought to be the fundamental studies every Buddhist practicer must undertake. And according to a structure of the Buddhist teaching, I think there are three categories, so-called Tripitaka, Sutra Pitaka, and Shastra Pitaka, and also Sila Pitaka. The group of sutra, group of sila precepts, group of shastra commentary on the Buddhist scriptures. Those three consist of Buddhist teaching consists of those threes in ancient time. And in terms of practice, Buddhist practice, Buddhism is divided into the three points that is called the three learnings, precept, and wisdom, and samadhi. And also in the, with the development of Buddhism, particularly in Mahayana, we have practice of Buddhist teaching called the six parameters. Six parameter here says in the note, the six perfections or practices by which enlightenment can be attained: donation, precept keeping, perseverance, assiduity, meditation, and wisdom. Donation means giving dana, the giving dana, sila precept, the precept sila, and perseverance, patience or perseverance, assiduity, that is effort, zealousness, meditation, zazen, and wisdom. Those are six parameters as Buddhist practice in Mahayana Buddhism. So the question here says that the why Dogen Zenji emphasizes particularly the zazen alone, jhana or samadhi, separated from the rest of three learnings and rest of the six parameters, because this question of paying attention, only one thing, so-called jhana or samadhi, meditation, separate from the rest of the things. So the question, what they takes one jhana, and paying attention to it and deal with it particularly, separate from the rest of the things. So that's why this is a little bit the question. Question here is already questionable, because already they deal with one thing particularly separate from others. Okay? But strictly speaking, if you deal with a practice as a whole, practice means a Buddhist practice, Zazen or Qigong or whatever, in our daily life, it is really impossible for us to separate from others. Because if you do Zazen, very naturally in Zazen there are the rest of the learnings and the rest of the six parameters must be there. Otherwise, meditation jhana doesn't make sense. In our daily life, particularly reality, we call reality. Reality we live in from moment to moment is consciously very vague. But strictly speaking, it is very clear. Because all beings work together and create one thing. So it's very clear, but intellectually, it's very vague, because it's very difficult to analyze, to separate from others. So our life is always going on, right in the midst of that reality. So, but intellectually, if you explain Buddhist practice, I think we can explain Buddhist practice as three learnings. But this is nothing but the Buddhology, okay? Buddhist studies. So separately, you can explain what the Sila is, why it is necessary for us, and also wisdom and jhana. Separately, you can deal with. So, that is already questionable. That's why Dogen Zenji point out what's the significance, what is the significance of Zazen we do. The last sentence he says, you may know without doubt that this Zazen is absolute way of the Buddha Dhamma. In the original text, it's called Zendo. Zen means integrated or complete, or the whole. And Do is a way, or sometimes utterance, but way is fine. So the integrated way or whole way of the Buddha Dhamma means that the whole spirit of the Buddha Dhamma, the integrated spirit of Buddhist teaching. Buddhist teaching, not the one thing picked by somebody or picked by some idea among many Buddhist teaching. Okay? If you research Buddhist teaching, you can analyze, agamas, abhidhammas, and avasanaka sutras, majjhimikas, and many teachings there. But Dogen Zenji tried to present the whole or integrated spirit of the Buddha's teaching, okay, through what has been handed down from generation to generation. That is a key point. That's why Dogen Zenji mentions the point what she is speaking of is integrated spirit of the Buddhism, not the Zen sect, not the particular teaching called Zen sect. Okay. So Dogen Zenji doesn't like so much the particular sect denominations. So even the Zen school, even the Buddha mind school, whatever you say, Dogen Zenji try to avoid a particular name, the appellation called Zen sect and etc. Because he constantly present total whole picture, whole spirit of Buddha's teaching. That's why finally his teaching must go back to Buddha's teaching. What the Buddha's teaching is like, you know. So from here in his answer, I think he mentions from where the appellation Zen sect comes. So I think he says the Bodhidharma, since the Bodhidharma came to China and practiced Zazen at the Shaolin Temple for 9 years, and people unthinking or not knowing through the circumstances, you know, give a certain name on the teaching of Bodhidharma called Zen sect or Zen sect. Zen Zazen sect or Zen sect, because Bodhidharma always sitting. So that is very clear, because many recorded the sayings of patriarchs already mentions about this. So Zen sect, name of a Zen sect, well, is based on not stable resources, you know, not the definite or clear resources. So many among the ignorant people, anyway, they put the name on it. For instance, in the United States, you know, we say Zen student, okay, because you do Zazen and study Zazen and Zen Buddhism, that's why people call you Zen student, okay. So that is naturally people put the name on you, okay. But it doesn't come from a definite and clear resource. So that's why Dogen Zenji mentioned here, at present the word Za has been dropped and we speak of Zen sect. Its essence is made clear in the recorded sayings of the patriarchs. Zazen shouldn't be equated with the jhana or samadhi of the six parameters or three learnings, because it is just a teaching in words, talking about what the Buddha's practice is. And so the Buddhist practice is separated or divided into 3 points, you know, Sila, Wisdom, and Jhana. But that Jhana is completely different from the jhana, Dogen Zenji mention, because jhana, Dogen Zenji mention, the implicates or brings on the total whole spirit of the Buddha's teaching, including in wisdom, theater, and jhana. Jhana. If you practice jhana, very naturally you can bring on the precept and jhana. In other words, precept wisdom should be included. But it doesn't, it goes without saying that it is not necessary for us to practice sila or precept. Of course, it is necessary. But if you practice sila or precept shouldn't be separate from jhana or wisdom. Sila, the practice of sila should be backed by wisdom and jhana meditation. Otherwise, sila doesn't make sense. Or sila doesn't work in our everyday life. If you practice sila in our everyday life, very naturally, wisdom and jhana should be included, naturally. So constantly, the jhana that Dogen Zenji present, that zazen as a whole. And also next he says, finally he emphasizes the primary events, you know, of the Buddhist meditation in the ancient time when the Shakyamuni Buddha was alive. So that is, he says, it is altogether clear, this is a legitimate idea of the Buddha Dharma that has been directly transmitted many years ago during the ceremony on Vajra Peak. The Tathagata entrusts the right Dharma eye, wondrous mind of Nirvana, to Mahakashyapa alone. Well, you know pretty well these stories. I think in the note, he mentions on Vajra Peak, Brahma came and he implored the Buddha to preach for the benefit of sentient beings. The Buddha held out a lotus flower before the assembly of devas and men, but none of them understood him except Mahakashyapa, who smiled. Then the Buddha exclaimed, "I have the right Dharma eye, the wondrous mind of Nirvana. This I entrust to you, Kashyapa." According to the Zen school, this marks the beginning of the Zen transmission. This account, together with those telling of the Dharma transmission up to Huineng, may be found in the Lianteng Fuyao Lento Roku. So it is said that the story is the beginning of Zen transmission, Dharma transmissions. And also, in other words, Dogen Zenji tried to give historical proof. If you don't understand anything now, I think we should learn historical proof, human history. We have to follow the historical events. Okay. In other words, I mentioned the other day that we have to emulate historical customs and fabricated by humans in the history. Well, if you want to be barber, then naturally you have to imitate what the ancestor did. So you have to emulate and imitate the practice presented by ancestors. This is called learning. We have to learn something. So, Dogen Zenji, because even though you think about Zazen, about the barber, you know, with your intellectual sense, you don't understand what the barber means. Okay? How the people trust you as a barber? We don't understand it. So finally, if you want to command respect from the people, anyway, you have to follow the ancestors' way and emulate it and practice. Naturally, people trust you, and naturally, people call you Baba. So that's why Dogen Zenji returned to the beginning of their history. The beginning of their Dharma transmission in Zen tradition. That's why he said like this. And also, he says, some among the Deva multitude now present in the heavens actually witnessed the ceremony. It means still there are many Devas, some Devas who witnessed that ceremony. In other words, there are some Devas who participated in that ceremony in ancient time. Can't you believe? The guardian, Deva means guardians and gods, you know, the the divine entities, or something like that, devas. According to Buddha's eye, I think eternal times are nothing but, eternal time is nothing but the moment. So from this point, I think it is possible for us to see the some devas, somebody who participated in that ceremony. And they exist in this world. Well, practically speaking, I think that spirit of the Buddha transmitted to Mahakashyapa has been existent from the ancient time to up to now. Transmitted by from one to another. From ancestor to one ancestor to another ancestors. Anyway, so very naturally, Mahakashyapa knows what the significance of the Buddha's teaching is, and then Ananda, anyway, becomes successor of the Mahakashyapa. Who knows exactly significance of Buddha's teaching. So from generation to generation, anyway, each ancestors received true significance of the Buddha's teaching. So from this point, I think, still we know. Even the 21st century, I think somebody knows. Somebody knows what the true significance of Buddha's teaching is. So that is I think we can participate. We can prove that that ceremony is really true. saying of from the depths of spiritual life, so very naturally. So from this point, I think the our practice should be protected or watched over by many devas, many guardians, and many sentient beings. Otherwise, you cannot continue to practice. So that's why he says, Dogen Zenji mentioned here, some among the deva multitude now present in the heavens actually witnessed the ceremony. Therefore, there is no reason for any doubt. The Buddha Dharma, as a matter of course, is forever protected and maintained by the deva multitude. Their efforts never slacken. So constantly we are anyway protected, maintained. Our practice is protected, maintained by many sentient beings, devas, etc. That's why we can continue to practice from generation to generation. Well, same applied to everyday life, you know. Your life has been, your life is still going because your life is protected, maintained by many beings, historically or presently, anywhere like now or in the future. Anywhere many beings try to protect your life and maintain. Without this, you cannot live in this world now. So, so very naturally, if you want to transmit your life, how sublime it is, I think you have to see your life not separate from other beings, but your life regarded as integrated spirit of universe. And then you can transmit your life, how sublime, how respectful your life it is. Then you can transmit it to next generations. it is not the matter of discussion intellectually, but it is matter of practice, taking care of it, dealing with your life as a whole spirit of the universe. Then you really transmit, your life to next generations. So very naturally, the Dogen Zenji mentions in the beginning of Bendoa, I think he mentions key point of Zazen. We are practicing the first paragraph, Dogen Zenji mentioned, Buddha Tathagatas all have wondrous means which is unexcelled and free from human agency for transmitting the wondrous Dharma from one to another without alteration and realizing supreme and complete awakening, that it is only transmitted without deviation from Buddha to Buddha is due to the Jijuyu Samadhi, which is its touchstone. So Zazen we do is Jijuyu Samadhi, based on Jijuyu Samadhi. I think explanation here, Jijuyu, means that the awakened one receives you and uses you, the joy of awakening in himself, ji. Jiju Samadhi thus refers to the Samadhi in which this is realized and sustained. It is said Shakyamuni was immersed in the joy of enlightenment following his attainment. I think the Jiju Samadhi, literally, G is the self, okay? A Ju is to receive, and you of Jiju is to use, and Samadhi is Samadhi. So from this point, I think the Jiju Samadhi means, the self receives the self, and it gives life to it. And settles in the self. Okay. That is a samadhi. Samadhi is settles the self in the self. Okay. Samadhi is to dwell in Dharma, to dwell in the truth. To dwell in the universe, this is samadhi. We say concentration, okay? But samadhi is to dwell in the Dharma, dwell in the truth, dwell in the true state of existence, okay? So, Jiju Samadhi is the self becomes the self, gives life to it, and settles in the self. That is Jiju Samadhi. So, means one of the famous Zen teacher in Japan, Sawaki Roshi, Mason's very simple term, he says, Zazen is that the self becomes self, and is selfing, okay? And settles in the self, okay? He says, the self becomes the self, itselfing means giving life, give life to the self. Not that self is not something dead, so it's always alive, that is called to use. Okay? So, the self becomes the self, and is selfing, and settles in itself. That is Zazen he mentions. So when you do Zazen, you become you and you-ing and settle in you. Okay. Exactly. So that you is not the idea of the you who feels or who experiences something. Before your feeling, before your experience, okay? Which means exactly oneness between the Zazen and you, okay? And thereafter oneness, you can say, I feel or I experience, okay? But before this one, before the very first moment of jumping into Zazen, then you say, ah, Zazen. Okay. That is already feeling or experience, but that is not real self, because that self is very shaky because it's very easily distracted by feeling and experience. So that is the Jijyu Samadhi, okay? Jijyu Samadhi. It is the Obaku Zen Master asked the Nansen if jhana and wisdom are equated, you can see into the Buddha nature. How is it? Can you tell me about this teaching? And then Nansen said, I have nothing to depend on for 24 hours. Well, it means jhana and wisdom, well, including sila, okay? Jhana and wisdom, if jhana and wisdom are equated, anyway, used equally by practicer, then we can see into the Buddha nature. How about this principle, this teaching? Then he says, I have nothing to depend on for 24 hours. But this is still a little bit of the dualistic world, because there are persons who don't depend on, okay, anything for 24 hours. And also, there are the jhana and wisdom which are not dependent by anybody, by him, okay? And also, there are hours, time, so-called 24 hours, during which he never depend on anything. So still dualistic, okay? If I say, I have nothing to depend on, immediately the person who don't depend on anything here, and also simultaneously, I have something I don't depend on. So very dualistic, and simultaneously, there is a time, you know, for a certain period of time, I don't depend on. And also place, which exists, which lets that things exist. So lots of dualistic sense there, okay? Sure. To see the Buddha nature is to maintain equally jhana and wisdom. So to see Buddha, to see into the Buddha nature. Buddha nature means your life must be alive as a whole, you know, vividly. Which means, according to the Dogen's term, it is called Jijyu Samadhi. Jijyu Samadhi is that the self becomes the self and gives life to it and settle in the self, means the self must be really alive vividly in Zazen before any separation between. So that means Zazen is exactly something living fish, like a living fish, always working. So self is also working together vividly. So to see into Buddha nature means You have to deal with your zazen, you have to deal with your mind and the body, which are both working alive vividly. So it is how do we work? So it is just like if you sit down zazen, I think you can see the mind, you can see the distractions, because the mind is pretty easily distracted by continuous change, by the events which are changing constantly. But the basic nature of the change, constant change, is not something distracting you, because everything, nature, original nature of change means nothing to attach, nothing to hoard. Because if I say, this is say event, some event, the nature of sound or event is nothing. No root. So that's why in a moment event occurs, in the next moment it's disappeared. But according to human consciousness, immediately pick it up, that form of event, and then attach it. But basically it's always moving, so you can't grasp it. So very naturally consciousness feels sad or pensive or melancholy or despair or pretty pensive, because unsatisfactory very naturally. And then if we say all sentient beings are impermanent, so we don't like impermanence. But impermanence means constant change. Constant change is not pessimistic. You have to understand the impermanence. You have to see into the true meaning of impermanence and constant change pretty deeply. So original nature of the constant change is completely transparent. So nothing to feel. So very naturally, what you have to do is from in whatever situation, in whatever time, or in whatever moment, in whatever event, all we have to do is just face and deal with and go. So consciousness, how do we take care of consciousness, which seems to be easily distracted by events which are changing constantly? That means the koan mentions just like a baby's mind, like us throw away the ball into the stream of a swift river. So as soon as possible you have to deal with zazen and breathing and the mind, and then you have to go. But when you see the mind and the breathing, which are distracted by the constant change, immediately you try to stay or judge, critical toward it, or stay with it, always. So very naturally, mind always stay in the stream, but actually you can't. So that's why finally we are very confused. So did you use samadhi? Did you use samadhi? Is exactly you have to live vividly from moment to moment. Zazen is very simple circumstances, and you can really see closely and deeply what happens in the mind and in your body. So all you can do is deal with them as simple as you can, because circumstances, your bodies, your mind are very present, very good, under very good situations. So that's why Zazen is most important things. You know, so Zazen is not same as jhana of three learnings itself, because you have to deal with your life as a whole. Okay. And if you do that, then you can see the integrated spirit of the Buddha's teaching, or integrated spirit of your life, interconnected, interpenetrated with all universe. This is the reality you live in. So you need a very natural wisdom in Zazen, because wisdom is not knowledge. Wisdom is, what to say, resolution or steadfast determination coming from your depth of your heart. I will do. Okay? This is a wisdom. Wisdom, anyway, cut off a tournament around some event. You know, if you face with it, lots of tournaments there. Okay? Then wisdom, anyway, cut off without those tanglements, okay? And then, immediately, I will do this. That is a wisdom. But an understanding, knowledge, is always analyzing, try to understand what the tanglements are, and how can we cut off those stuff, and using a technique, that is knowledge, okay? But wisdom is exactly cut off right now. Yes, sir, I will do it. So this is wisdom. Okay. So very natural, Zazen in Zazen, you need wisdom. And also we need the precepts or means of disciplines. When you do Zazen, very naturally, there are lots of procedure you have to go through. Postures, breathing, and also your mind and circumstances, and meals, sleeps, and there are lots of complicated procedure you have to go through. And then, nevertheless, your body, your mind should be distracted. How? But you can maintain your mind and maintain your breath in peace and harmony by your wisdom and jhana and sila, beyond your speculations. This is called Jijyu Samadhi. Dogen Tenchi mentions Zazen is Jijyu Samadhi. And then we chant Jijyu Samadhi in the noon service. That is a contents, quality of Jijyu Samadhi. What happens in the Jijyu Samadhi's world? So, Dogen Tenchi mentions about Jijyu Samadhi. What's going on in the world of Jijyu Samadhi? It's really amazing. But you don't believe it. But it is just like a music orchestra. It's just like an orchestra. If you chant, if you read that Jijyu Samadhi, the new service, I think he always creating an orchestra, big orchestra,
music. So many beings there, but creating wonderful music world there. So that is content or quality of Jijyu Samadhi. If you do Zazen, that's why, if you do Zazen, even for a moment, with sincere heart, with the wholeheartedness, there is, it works, exactly. There is a progress there. Okay, so number six, almost the same questions. Question six, why should Buddhists advocate Zen meditation relying on sitting alone among the four attitudes, going, standing, sitting, lying, for entering realization? Answer six, it wouldn't be possible to investigate thoroughly the way in which Buddhists one after another from long in the past have practiced and entered realization. If you seek a reason for their having done this, you should know it is simply because it is the way employed by Buddhists. Reasons shouldn't be sought elsewhere, yet patriarchs have extolled it, saying that Zazen in itself is Dharma gate of repose and joy. In truth, is this not because among the four attitudes, sitting is joyful bliss? Indeed, this is not the way of practice of one or two Buddhas. It is the way of all Buddhas and all patriarchs. Anyway, from generation to generation, all Buddhas, all patriarchs, ancestors, anyway, have practiced this Jijyu Zazen, Jijyu Samadhi, and transmit it from generation to generation. So there is no space to poke our head why they did, because it is a fact, it is reality. Because Zazen is to experience straightforwardly repose and bliss, right in the middle of Zazen. Repose and bliss means you have to become you as you are exactly, and you are youing. Okay, you are youing is there is nothing to deal with, or you are not carried away by anything, or you don't carry away anything. So exactly you are youing means you do exactly. So you become what you are, and you are youing, and that means you settle yourself in the self, including whole universe. At that time, you can really settle in the self. That is called repose and bliss. That is completely beyond, before you think, before you feel, before you experience. But we are always hanging around the experience or feeling. Always we mention, how do you feel? You like it? Or how do you feel? You don't like it? Well, what kind of experience you did? Okay. So we are always talking about this one. But that is important, but the most important point is you have to anyway see into deeply that Buddha nature. Buddha nature means before you feel, you experience. Put yourself in the Buddha nature's world. And then many worlds coming up. That is nothing but activity in dynamism from moment to moment. Just like a throwing away the ball into the stream of swift waters, constantly. That is what? It's not idea. It's not matter of discussions. You have to do it. It's really total activities. It's peace, which is peace, and also dynamism. Okay? So, Zazen is exactly experience this one. So, if you do Zazen, that sitting is not separate from walking and standing and sleeping. It's exactly the same as including all. Because before idea, prior to have idea of the four activities, so called sleeping, sitting, it's there. That is, you have to settle yourself, you have to put yourself in Buddha nature's world. But the idea of four activities, sitting, sleeping, etc., is the idea of the conceptual world. So that is many feeling coming up, many experiences coming up. Okay. So that's why he says no particular, you know, the reason why we shouldn't have zazen exactly. So he says, yet patriarchs have extolled it, saying that zazen in itself is Dharma gate of repose and joy. This is the essential art of Zazen. Okay, do you have a question about this?
Okay. Why is Jujyu Samadhi referred to as self-enjoyment samadhi?
I don't know how to say, but it's pretty difficult to translate it. But joy itself, joyfulness means exactly in whatever situation you may be, whatever time you may be, in whatever events may occur. Anyway, you must host of yourself. Okay? You must be master of yourself. Okay. So that means what? It is not something you can get from outside. So it is in you. And then from that, you can really feel kind of joy. But it is not exactly joy, but something joy. So that's why it says self-joyfulness. But literally, I think I mentioned already, that is, it's better than the joyfulness for me.
Ojusan.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's got to be some way of appreciating that. They always say it's happening beyond your perceptions, beyond your comprehension, beyond your experience. But if all my experience is telling me my body is sitting there in pain in Zazen, then reality to me is the pain. And if this at some higher level or whatever, this is happening, unless there's some way of appreciating that, then of what? I mean, if you don't know you're in that state, then you aren't benefiting from it.
It's not a higher level. Beyond your experience is not something higher level, separate from you, from reality, you know. Because already you already there. Otherwise, you cannot experience anything. So before experience, you have to settle in the self. Prior to feeling or experience, doesn't mean to ignore the reality. from what you feel pain, etc. Point is how you deal with, how do you deal with that reality? Okay? Mm-hmm. Do you want to stay with reality, with torment, you know, for long, or you want to deal with reality just like simply a straight away or straightforwardly, just like a water running. So deal with it, leave it. That's kind of thing. What different word coming up? Is that clear? Do you understand? For instance, I sitting here and then feel the pain. And then the trouble is that we always stay with the pain which occurs through our experience. Okay? And then we attach to experience and stay with it, and adding the psychological problem, trouble, psychological stuff to it. I hate it. That is affective preferences. Always use psychological affections, you know, you add to it. That's why it's very difficult to live there. See the pain, and then the psychological, you add the psychological problem to it. So very difficult to leave as soon as possible. So that's because emotional, the activity is very sticky, very sticky. So as less as you can, you have to deal with the pain and deal with taking care of it and leave. That is most important for us. Mm. So it's not necessary to ignore. You cannot ignore reality. So question is, how much you stay with it, how much you pass by, how quick you can pass by. Okay? That is activity, your practice.
Hoju-san, what about our conditioning though? Like I've heard some people say, well, just let go, and just like it's a real easy thing to do, when actually all your conditioning of conventional reality is overwhelming.
Yes.
How do you just let go?
Well, maybe overwhelming, it depends. Feeling of overwhelming is completely different from an individual, you know. For instance, sitting like this is overwhelming. Somebody feels that's overwhelming, you know. That's pretty hard. But someone says it's all right, pretty easy just sitting, you know. So what do you mean overwhelming? It's different from a different person. Do you understand? Evaluation is different. So overwhelming is fine, you know, if you think, but it is not exactly overwhelming. That's why if you think it's overwhelming, fine, but still there is an opportunity to take a deep breath from overwhelming. So let it go. You know? But if you think it's overwhelming, immediately you are bogged down with an idea of overwhelming. So that's why it's very difficult to be free from it.
Is jhīkyū samādhi, is it a different state than, for example, shikantaza?
Or
same.
So but the jhīkyū samādhi is contents of the shikantaza. If you do shikantaza, very naturally shikantaza is represented as jhīkyū samādhi. That is the quality of skanta.
And Well, then Jiju Samadhi, is it different than ocean seal samadhi? I mean,
Cynthia?
Ocean seal samadhi.
That is a different term. Ocean seal samadhi is a little bit more philosophical, according to our Sandhika Sutra, explaining how the world is existent and how the world is structured. And reflecting and interpenetrated, interconnected. There's ocean sea smile. So everything becomes already in the ocean sea smile, we can say. Ocean sea smile means all sentient beings, trees, birds, and winters, clouds, and the skies, all interpenetrated. Under the illumination of Vairochana Buddha. Okay? So from this point, already the trees is what ought to be, you know? And the winter is what it ought to be. So no space to discuss, you know, I like or I don't like. So winter is winter, and the trees are trees, snow is snow, like this. That means ocean seal samadhi.
So you could experience that and be experiencing Jiju Samadhi at the same time?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually we have to experience. We have to experience means we have to taste that ocean seal samadhi in the Zen. Okay? And then it is called Jiju Samadhi. Okay.
Well, mm-hmm. I was trying to phrase another question, and that has to do with letting go into this other state, which if that's supposed to be perfect peace, then it seems like that shouldn't be experienced as threat or anxiety. Peace, it should be self-evident that that's peace. But if you're trying to let go, say if your body is sitting in zazen in pain, and you're trying to let go of that, but that letting go is perceived as threat and anxiety, then that's not peace. I mean, it seems like that the samadhi state should be self-evident if it's there. I'm not sure if I'm phrasing it exactly the way I want to.
Yeah, you're talking about almost the same as I mentioned the Obaku Zen Masters, the asking questions and to the Nansen. Do you understand that the Obaku Zen says the wisdom and samadhi is equated, you can see into the Buddha nature. How about this teaching? And then the Nansen says, I have nothing to depend on for 12-4 hours. But I mentioned about this one, okay? Well, what do you mean that I have nothing to depend on? Because nothing to depend on means to try to reach a higher level of existence? Beyond the reality, beyond the feeling or experience. So that is nothing to depend on for 24 hours. That means it is already, we are juggling, you know. 24 hours, I have been not depending on. This is a time already. And also, there is a person who have been not depending on anything. So here is a person, and also the particular things, I don't depend for 24 hours. So already three person and things, and also time, and also place, and also many conditions elements there. So finally, we are playing juggling with this. So finally, what do you mean? To depend on, not to depend on anything for 24 hours. You constantly you have to discuss. But the question is, Zazen is Dharma gate of the repose and bliss means if you sit down, please sit down. Well, empty your head. Please sit down right now, in peace in now. That is simultaneously repose and bliss. Before you think, but immediate consciousness pocket, and then it's not peace. It's not repose and bliss already. So, where is the higher level before you think or you feel or you experience? Where is it? It's activity. Please sit down right now in peace. That's it. That is dealing your life as a whole, so-called integrated spirit of your life as a universe, with a universe. Okay? So that is not just activity there. Is that clear? Is that all right? No? Excuse me, do you, is that all right? Or the point I mentioned? You do you understand what you mentioned? You obviously juggling.
Yeah.
Here is a higher level of experience, spiritual life before you feel and it's already separated. Okay.
It's just the point I'm making is like we can create so much struggle, and it just seems like if there's struggle here and there's peace here, it would be perfectly natural to choose peace, so why always choose struggle? And yet people seem to cling to the struggle side rather than the peace side.
Because you think peace doesn't exist in the struggling. But in where is the peace? Right in the middle of struggling, there is still opportunity to have a peace.
If you could see that, yeah.
No, you can do it. For instance, I said struggling, sitting here. See? Mm-hmm. Now I feel pain, okay? Mm-hmm. And then I struggle sitting now, and then I feel pain. That is struggling for me. Oh, where is the peace? No peace, you know? But please, stop it. If for a moment, sit down, please, take a deep breath, and forget it. And sit. Even for a moment. There is peace. So right in the middle of struggling, there is a peace. Means, what do you mean peace? Stop it. Stop it means, please sit down right now. Put aside all ideas and entanglements and etc. Many things, put it aside. And please sit down now. There is peace. So peace is not something different from a struggling you do. Is that okay?
Well, I think I understand the point you're trying to make, but I don't think that I can always see that for myself.
Yes, so from now you should taste it, okay? If you understand it, you have to taste it. If not for a moment, you can do it. So you do all this, and or the lots of stuff coming up in your head, and then finally you completely forget it, and close your eyes, and take a deep breath, and stand up quietly. That's it, you know. Or you say, I want to go to the natures and watch this quiet place. So you can do it. Or on the street, noise coming up, noise come out, and the people scream at you, and then how do you keep the peace, you know? Just take the breath, you know. Return to yourself and just walk. You can meddle with those stuff, complicated stuff on the street. So, if you understand even intellectually, next you have to taste it. Okay? Any other?
Now, if we taste it, why do we forget it?
If you taste it naturally, you can forget it. You forget me, so you forget the destructed state of the mind. That is forget the dull stuff. That's what you mean?
I don't hear the answer of that. I don't think that's if you sense what it is to let go, how come in another situation you don't even recall that you had that sense in this situation?
I don't understand. Would you say what's working?
If you see something, if you recognize the self, why do you lose it?
It's not is that something wrong with it? Lose it means it's not lose. Forget that means losing completely. What do you mean? For instance, if you taste in this situation, why the rest of the things should be forgotten?
I'm like trying to hold on to it. Is that?
I think he's more saying, why do we forget our samadhi place? And why do we forget that peaceful zazen place when we are out in our day-to-day life? And we chase after other kinds of solutions and we don't take the backward step.
Oh, I see.
To zazen.
Well, I think the one is that the human beings have been tamed for many, many years to deal with human life and the circumstances just like that by our consciousness, okay? By our customs and the educations and in a dualistic way. Always deal with in that way. So we are always dealing with the world after created. You know, the world created by the consciousness. We deal with the world created by the consciousness. Okay, not before. We always forget. We have forgotten already. But we have carried on our back already, not back as a whole personality anyway. We have already, but we don't pay attention to it. So we always pay attention to the world created by consciousness. That means world of conceptualizations, okay? So for many, many years, we have been tamed by educations and customs and habits and like this. So it's pretty hard. So almost we have almost forgotten this original first stage of the world. Okay, so that's what we have to combat. That is a practice, our practice, spiritual practice. Is that okay?
So, it seems like in your presentation, the discussion seems to be talking about integrated activity versus conceptualization. We won't talk about dhyana separated, but you describe the activity of zazen instead. But I don't hear you saying anything that makes the activity of zazen different than the activity of bowing, different than the activity of walking or chanting. I don't hear you explaining why we only do zazen.
And that's why zazen is. Zazen is a form of zazen, okay? That is a form. If you see the zazen in terms of form, there are many forms. There are many other forms opposed to zazen forms. But the DGU samadhi is the contents of that form of zazen or quality of zazen. That is called activity. Very undefined activities. Okay. That is a talking, that is a point Dogen Zenji point talk about, okay? And then if you do zazen like this, very naturally you can touch the quality of zazen regarded as a form, okay? So that quality is universal. Even though you walk and you sit and you stand, so what I think there is. That is a very universal. And then from that universal state, I think according to the conditional situation, it appears as a certain form, sometimes standing, sometimes walking, something like that. But I think there are many forms, but they must be supported by something more than form. That is called undefined activity or practice, so-called emptiness, we say. Form is emptiness is form, in Prajnaparamita. So if you see the world in terms of the form, there are many different, because each form has a different personal characteristic. Okay? Mm-hmm. So sitting is sitting. How do you give a quality to form of standing when you do it? Mm-hmm. That is most important. So that is, you have to give a quality to form of standing, so-called jiju samadhi. That's it. Mm-hmm. And then at that time, standing is exactly spirit of zazen. Mm-hmm. So from this point, zazen, standing, same thing. Mm-hmm. But according to the form, they are different. So you cannot mix that. So you have to deal with standing as a standing.
So, but it sounds to me still like we're obsessed with the form of sitting. You know, instead of samadhi, we're obsessed with the form of sitting.
Yes, the form of sitting, because the form of sitting is a pretty simple form, and also circumstances of simple. So that's why circumstances and also physically and mentally and time and place and many things, we try to make adjustments of all things. And then sit down. So that's why sitting is very simple form.
Some people think kinyin or bowing is more simple.
Well, in this kind of sitting, you know, circumstances, you know, bowing, standing is, of course, simple practice. But sitting is exactly inside of the organs, and inside of your body, and breathing all working together.
Okay.
But if you deal with bowing, I think you have to bow these certain activities, standing. It's not still apparently. Okay. So quite different. But sitting is completely quiet. But in the quiet, in the realm of the stillness, there are lots of, you can see the lots of activity there. So, very naturally, sitting is pretty particular, you know, form from which we can see many things more than other forms. So that's why sitting is handed down from generation to generation.
Roshi, what about someone who can't sit but is paralyzed and can only lie down?
Lie down is fine. Lie down and sitting on the chair.
So you know, what you just said, you could say the same thing for bowing or chanting. That form has its own special characteristic, which makes it unique, even though the activity is common.
I think through the zazen form, I think you have to taste that the jiju samadhi exactly. And then it's really standing and walking is, you can make the standing form, the walking forms really alive. You have appreciate it. So that's why we do. It's penetrated with into all other forms. For instance, if you experience this samadhi from the form of a skiing, and of course it is, but you can experience the same samadhi. But it's pretty hard to extend it into every other form. We understand it. But everyday life is very complicated. So I think that's why the jiju samadhi, which you can experience through sitting meditation, is very valuable and respectful, handed down from generation to generation.
I don't question the value. I just question why is it overemphasized, that form.
It's not overemphasized. If you don't, you can do anything. That's why we say if you want to go to ski, you can go to ski. If you want to be a sportsman, you can be a sportsman. And then through the sport, you can learn the samadhi. So why don't you go there? But we are talking about integrate the spirit of whole world, okay? Not only the particular area, so-called sports or art, etc. But we don't ignore. But we are always talking about integrate spirit of whole universe. Anyway, your life as a whole universe. And then at that time, how do you see this? Finally, you have to sit down. In other words, okay, if you don't believe this one, I am not overemphasize how important Zazen form is. But even though you don't have any idea of Zazen or standing itself. But if you drive yourself to a complete corner where you cannot move an inch, that means a dead end. What do you do? People naturally sit down. People don't run. People don't walk. Finally sit down. That's it. There is a form. You can see right in the middle of a dead end, which you can move. That's natural. And then from that sitting, then they can feel many things. There is a dead end, but simultaneously, still they feel the beginning of the world. So still they feel something. And also he himself, he can taste he himself. So, for instance, you know, during after Second World War, you know, in the prison camp in Japan or elsewhere, and then, you know, the Atkins Roshi was very impressed by the Japanese prisoner who sat in Zazen in the jail. Most of Japanese prisoners, anyway, sat in jail. Because there is nothing to do and nothing, no help for them and no hope, but still they have for hope and it's there. But nothing to do. Where should they go? They don't know. Confused? No, it's not more than confusions. Well, it's happy? No, something more than happy. Unhappy? Something more than unhappiness. So nothing to do there. That is really clear. Then they can sit. And then that sitting really gives some suggestions to others. So Atkin Roshi was really impressed by those people who sat, but they didn't say anything about it. So that is natural. Particularly when you have to see, you know, the core of the whole universe and how the universe is structured, how the universe is working together with all sentient beings. Now, how do you know that? It's pretty hard. But still, you can participate, so pretty close. That's why through the sports, through the arts, still artists try to express that beauty of the universe through that form, their form. So still opportunity for them to come near to tasting the integrated spirit of human life as a universe. You are lucky anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, because still you can have lots of choice looking around, you know, and talking about about Zazen, talking about standing, talking about, you know, sitting, and you are lucky, but I don't know how much you are lucky. You know. But lucky is always not lucky, you know. It is cause of confusion. In a sense, we are lucky because lots of choices to looking around and to go shopping. But a human life is sometimes you have to, human life must be seen from the emergency case where no choice. Then you can really see it. But still, anyway, we have to the respect the individual life in their own characteristic, okay? Personality and capacities, and then if you want to go somewhere to do something as a sportsman and as a mountain climber, of course we can encourage them to do this.